It was on. Thank you. I have not heard a choir in a very long time. And I want to thank you. It sounded so wonderful. In Papua New Guinea, it's all a cappella. There's very little instruments, and they're actually afraid. They really are good at harmonizing, but sometimes they'll take our great gospel songs and make a funeral hymn out of it because they sing it so slow. So it was just a wonderful, wonderful treat to my heart. It's the first choir I've heard since I've been back. And it was just wonderful. Thank you. You take it for granted, but that's special to me. Thank you so very, very much. Actually, I'm going to try to do better in the worship service. I probably upset Pastor and the video crew because I broke every protocol in the book here in the live streaming, so they'll get a stick after me. So I'll try to be much better this morning here in the worship service. And so I apologize. So I'll try not to roll slain in the spirit or anything. I'll try not to do any of that. Anyway, if you'll pick these up in the back, these are two books. I told my wife, these are two books that I actually teach out of. It's the very first book of the chronological teaching in Pidgin and English. And here it says, God is building a strong house. We talk about building a house because they understand that. And so with post is first and whatnot, so we're putting, and then you put your floor and you put your walls and put your, you don't put the roof on before you put the post in. I mean, just many people hear a lot of New Testament, but that's kind of like putting the roof on before you put the post in, because if you don't understand the Old Testament, you're never going to understand the New Testament, because the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed, and the New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. And so if you don't understand one, you won't understand the other. So chronological teaching brings it all into one story, and that's of Jesus Christ. And so here, it's God building a strong house, and here, God is working strong for the house, book number one, Planning Post. And so if you want to take a look at the English and the Pidgin, you are welcome to. Remind me to put that back there so when we leave, they're not sitting here next week whenever you come in. If you'll turn to Revelation, I think it's 5. All of a sudden, I got to go to 5:9. My wife and I are here just to simply say thank you. Just thank you for being partners with us. My wife has been out with my youngest daughter. I have 4 children. They're all grown up, and they're all married now. I have 4 children, 2 bookend boys and 2 middle girls, and I have 5 grandchildren, and up till last month, I hadn't seen any of them in 8 years. My wife has been home to help Rachel with her first baby, she was back for Ben's graduation as a master's degree in Bible exposition in Pensacola, but I have been in the bush, and just because that's where I'm supposed to be, okay? I'm in reverse culture shock, so please pray for me, okay? And so I'm used to preaching in cargo pants and bare feet and no tie. So I'm like a fish out of water, okay? So please forgive me, okay? And so I will try not to run around in front here, because all Pastor has to do is look like I'm a little kid, and he'll look stern at me and he'll say, "You get back there," or the video guy. So I'll try to be a good boy here this morning. Okay. I probably will fail, so please forgive me already. Okay. Anyway, in Revelation 5, now I'm not going to preach Revelation. Your pastor does a better job, and I'm looking for, by the way, I'm excited about tonight. I already told him that. Revelation 7. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. But I'm just going to give you some verses that we're going to talk about, but I'm not going to preach on any a prophecy or anything. That's for him to do. He's better at it than I am. Okay? So here, verse 9, chapter 5, it says, "And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain." So that's my Savior. And hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Now I'm going to read you the pigeon just so you hear it one time. Okay. Now always singing one pula nupula song all same. You got number enough long kissing display book. Now long opium all Greece candle. He got mark long M belong M. Long one of them all he been killing you he die. Now long blute belong you. You been buying back meepla. Now give me meepla long gold. Meepla he come long all get a line. Now long all get a talk place. Now all get a kind skin. Now all get a country. Now I learned a new Greek word, and to you it's probably the same word. This is just gobbledygook to you. Okay? Is that a good Greek word? Gobbledygook? Yeah. Heretic making new Greek words now, huh? No. I bring out that verse to tell you that I want to thank you for helping me, because you and me together have made this verse come alive. The people that you saw in the video who got saved. Hundreds have got saved in the last 8 years. Hundreds have got saved. Pastors, we started 5 churches and working on number 6. I mean, you and I alone are fulfilling this scripture. This scripture is alive today in this church. Hallelujah. It don't get any better. The greatest thing in all the world. You say, what are you doing over there at 71? Because there's no greater thing to see than God changing lives. Amen. I'm going to tell you some of the trials I've been in. But what we've seen, God's wondrous works, I want to go back. Don't feel sorry for us when you hear some of these things. It is our home. I just want you to understand our home, that's all. But you have helped me bring alive this scripture. And there's nothing better in scripture outside of your salvation than living God's word in your life. Amen. Amen and amen. And you and I are doing it. By your investment with us, you and I are doing this. Today, your investment, we're winning souls in heaven. There's going to be people in heaven you get to meet. Why? Because you invested in us and we gave them Christ, and Christ will have them there. And God will tell you, well done. You've obeyed me. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation 11. I think there's not enough of that encouragement on the spiritual things. You need to know that, hey, wow, I'm really living this. It's really not. We need to make God alive. We need to get him out of the little box we put him in. We're reaching for the impossible, and he actually can't wait for people to reach the impossible, because that's where he lives. He lives in making the impossible possible. Forgive me if I get a little excited about my ministry. In Revelation 12, I'm sorry, I told you 11, go to 12 in verse 11. It says, and they overcame him. Now, just a bit context, like I say, tonight's prophecy night, today is ministry day. Okay? So, but when they say, and they overcame him, if you read the context of this chapter, I think it's a spiritual history of civilization on a spiritual side from Israel all the way to the end. Amen. Thank you. See, I'm not a heretic after all. And so the verses before that tell you that it was Satan and he's kicked out of where? Heaven. He's defeated! Most of us walk around afraid of him more than we are our Savior inside of him. He who is in me is greater than he is in the world. Amen. If I didn't believe that, I couldn't be in Papua New Guinea. We have sorcerers. We have all kinds of demonology. We have all kinds of power there. And if I would be afraid of them, I don't even belong there. It says, and they, that's you and me, that's the ones that already went before us, and the same principle belongs to you and me, and they overcame him. Who? Satan. They overcame Satan by the blood of the Lamb. by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. All three of those things can resist the devil and he will flee. All three of those things require death. Death of Christ. If I'm going to give a testimony, it must be of Christ, not me. I must die to me. And I must be willing to die to win somebody to Christ. But those are promises. He said, I can be an overcomer. I can be an overcomer. I mean, in Romans 8, it says we are more than conquerors. In Revelation 2 and 3, it says, they were overcome. That word means to subdue, not to just cower and just say, oh, woe is me. No, it's to move forward, being an overcomer. Amen. And it says here, we can overcome him. We can overcome the devil. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of his testimony, and love not their lives unto death. When I was in the bush alone, I said, Dear Lord, I got to fight the devil here almost every day spiritually. The power of darkness is great in the bush. I mean, Satan's been there for centuries and centuries. And when I come there, he says, you think I'm going to give these people to you? You're going to have to fight. And I've been fighting for 8 years. And you're fighting here. It's a spiritual war. It's not flesh and blood. We get too involved with flesh and blood. It's a spiritual warfare. And I said, Lord, how do I do this? I said, it's real here. How do I do that? I'm not saying it's not real here, but I'm just saying there where I'm at. Lord, how do I do this? And he gave me a theme. And he said, the blisters are real, but the blessings are better and bigger. The blisters are real, but the blessings are better and bigger. And I just want to share, I don't want to dwell here, but I do want to share some of the blisters. And what I use blisters, but really what blisters are is the trials and tribulation he puts you and I in. And the triumph or soul saved and whatnot. The blisters are the trials. By the way, everybody has them. He said, in the world you shall have tribulation. That's a promise of God. It's just life. It's just life. And so you got to learn how to deal with it. And there's some blisters that we have to deal with. Now, these are things I'm just sharing with you so you know how to pray for us. Don't feel sorry for me. I love my home. But I'm just sharing with you some of the blisters that he throws in my life. Some of the trials he throws in my life. I'm a white-skinned American. But I'm there for Christ. Okay? And so sometimes the mosquitoes. I have to bathe myself in bushman stuff and mosquitoes every day. We sleep under a mosquito net. Sometimes that gets to me. It's a trial. Okay? We call it Mosquitoville. We live in the swamps. So the highest mountain is in my garden where I plant my cow mounds, my just little potatoes. And so my mountain's even higher than where they have the Digicel tower. So it's just... And so... we have termites. I have to fight the termites. I keep remodeling the buildings and the termites keep taking it down. I mean, I just got to keep on doing it. So, and that gets frustrating. The bugs, the snakes. Every snake is poisonous. But now we've helped cut the bush out and it gets better and better and better. The one thing you pray for is the isolation. During this virus, I heard about the isolation here for 2 or 3 months, whatever. Welcome to my world that I live every day. Maybe you'll get a taste of what to pray for by your little isolation here. I'm not trying to offend you. I'm trying to say that's my everyday life. The loneliness. The isolation. Sometimes 2 or 3 months at a time, we have no communication. Even though we have a phone system, it's the worst in the world. They say it's 2G. I think it's 0.2G. Okay. Once a year we go to Kansas, we update the website. And everything you want to know, please go to theonfinishedtask.com. You can see, if you missed a video, you can see it on the front page. Everything we've ever done is on, all 8 years is on our website. So please go there and you can learn. And there's even comments there. You can even throw a dart at it if you want. I don't care. Okay. Sometimes a rainy season. We call it Soup City by Meru sometimes when we walk in the mud. So sometimes that's a heavy trial for us. Sometimes that's a blister. Now let me explain this just a little bit more. And I'm ready to run around, so I'm going to... Lord help me. Every day, as I walk out my house, I don't have a big door to shut. I have a screen door because it's so hot. I only shut the door at night. But we have a screen door. Everything around us is fly wire. But I'll grab my bush knife at the side of the door, and I have a bush knife in my hand almost every single day except going to class. But when Pastor Danny and I, we first started there, before the school started, the place had grown. There was a missionary there before it built the buildings, but everything else grew up. All the bush was up. So we had to go in there and take a bush knife and cut out all the bush. Big, tall weeds, this grass, if you let it go, it'll get to be a bush. That's why you make hay. Am I true? Okay, if you let that hay go, it'll turn to seed and it'll get nasty. Okay, but anyway, our bush can go 7-8 feet tall and whatever. And so we're going there and cutting with the bush. And when I first started using a bush knife, man, my hand would be filled with blisters. Anybody ever blister? Sure you do. Blister is a common thing. Pretty good blister. Then the next day I'll go out and they'll break on me. Boy, will they get sore. They're hurt. Some of them will crack and bleed. And then I come in here and my wife will wrap it up a little bit. By the time I go out there, the wrap is gone and it hurts. But after you use it a while, it gets calluses on and your hand gets stronger and better. And then that bush knife just becomes part of extension of your arm. Amen? And so the blisters are real spiritually. The blisters are real. But the blessings are much better and bigger. Now, I could go on. The language is a barrier. My hearing aids is a frustration at times. Sometimes I have to ask the guys, can you please tell me that one word again? I can't catch it. Because we slant our vowels and we put air to our consonants and they don't put any, there's no aspiration and there's no air to a P. It's almost silent sometimes and they're pure vowels. And so I had to learn the language that way. But sometimes I can't hear that. And so I have to go. You pray. The Lord can, through the VA, give me some new hearing aids. And so there's all kinds of blisters, and those are what Satan loves to use. His greatest weapon to anyone, especially me, because I'm weak, is he wants to discourage me with all these blisters. And eventually he wants me to quit. Why? Because I'm reaching souls and taking them away from him. And so the trials, the blisters, is a test of my faith. He throws trials in our life, and it's a test of our faith. He wants to see if I will come under him and under his authority in the trial, so when I come under his authority, he'll give me his authority so I can overcome the trial and get to the blessing. So many times we don't wait in the trial, we fail in the trial, and we never get to the other side of it for God's blessing. To overcome without a trial, you and I don't need to have any faith. When things are going good, I don't need faith. When I got food in the house, I don't have. Many times we thank the Lord almost pretentiously because we have such an abundance in our refrigerator. I'm true. Well, he gives us trials where our flesh gets angry or whatever, and he's trying to say, hey, come under me. Come under me. Get the word and make the word come alive in your test. So when you get under me and you live for God in the test, then right over the hill of that trial is the great blessing of wondrous works. Can I go down at all? Do you have a little leash here? I'm like a puppy dog. Do you have a little leash on me? Am I okay? I do this to my classes all the time because they need visual aids. And so do I. This is a tea bag. This is hot water. I think it's still hot. I don't know if it's still hot or not. We'll see what it does. But this was boiling, but it's probably hot. But watch what happens. It's warm now. But watch what happens. You see what's happening? And every one of my students will say this. That leash works, doesn't it? He actually has this little thing in my ear that when I move, he makes it pain. No, I'm just kidding. He wouldn't do that. And my men will always say, and my ladies will say, look what the hot water did. No, that's not what the hot water did. The hot water didn't make that color. The color was already in the tea bag, and the hot water revealed the color that was there. God, when you're having a trial, you say, God, what are you making me? He's not trying to make you anything. He's trying to reveal to you your relationship with him of where you're strong and where you're weak and what you have to walk on. And it's your response in the trial that builds your faith. And if you say, what are you making me? Well, he's trying to conform you to the image of Christ, but he's revealing to you what you need in your life to grow. And without the trial, you don't know that. The only way we can take scripture that we memorize mentally down to the heart is through a trial. The trial is what makes it come alive in your life. And if you don't have a trial, by the way, a trial, there's two words that'll make one or the other. It'll either make you bitter or it'll make you better. Why? Because each trial is to get me to the next one. Each trial, when I overcome it, when I go under God in the trial and overcome him by his authority, when I go overcome and I overcome this trial, then the blessing is right in front of me and it's bigger and better than the trial. Yeah, I got mosquitoes. Yeah, we don't have refrigeration. We don't have electric. We don't have enough. And all that God could use against me. But as I submit to him and say, look, I'm here because you called me and I want to win people to Christ, and I keep training, and the trials come and it gets dark sometimes. I mean, this is really, you let it in this trial for very long and boy, the color gets strong. And then once that's over, once the trial there and you get victory, you overcome the trial. You don't even care about the trial. You look in front of me and there's this beautiful, wondrous work of a soul for God. Amen. And so the blisters are real, but the blessings are far bitter and bigger. You either turn bitter or better, and the difference is the one word bitter, it has I. You can either respond in the flesh or you can use it as an opportunity to glorify God. There's no temptation taking you, but such a common. By the way, you and I both think this. We think that we're the only ones in this trial. No one's ever lived this bad. This is really a bad. You can't possibly understand me. Am true? Amen. I say am true. I'm back to pigeon. It's gobbledygook to you know. There's nothing new under the sun. It's the same common stuff. You have your trials here. You're in a trial right now in America. How are you going to respond to it? Where's your faith? How are you going to respond to that? This is your test. I have many of my tests. Trials, the blisters. Is what really conforms me. When I go under him, the moment I surrender under him, and use his word as he did, as is written. That's automatically conforming me to his image. And then when I'm in his image, I have his authority because I'm clean and I overcome the trial and I get in to where he's really working and I see souls saved for the glory of God, because without the trial, I will not have the blessing. So many people trip over the trial and they never get to see how great and wondrous God is. My wife and I, we don't deserve it. We're not worthy to be in this mission field. Yeah, I don't care about the mosquitoes and everything I share with you to pray for. I'm not worthy to be there. But I'm sure glad. I was in my garden just before I came. I said, oh God, I'm amazed that you still want to use me. And as soon as I say that, here comes another trial. And he says, you want to change your mind? I'm human, and sometimes I will get in the flesh, and I'll get in my garden, and I'll whine and complain. Do you? Maybe I'm the only reprobate here. Maybe that just lost my support. I don't know. Okay. You're my family, so I can share this with. But it's just like my wife having a baby. We had four of them, and they're all long labors. Oh, much pain, much pain. But when that baby comes out, She forgets all that pain for the blessing of what God gave her. Well, that's what this spiritual thing is all about. Now, I don't like trials any more than you do. But trials creates a patience in me and a waiting on God that the flesh doesn't understand. By the way, every trial, every blister that comes, you're going to have to die to the flesh somewhere. God will use a trial because he needs to get rid of some of your flesh so he can bless you better. If you're filled with flesh, you're going to see very little blessings. But if you empty your flesh and you submit under him, let him overcome you, and then he'll give you his authority and a power, because he said, all power is given unto me. So go, therefore. So I'm in Papua New Guinea, submitting under that. And boy, look at all the power I can use for the glory of God. Look at the souls being saved. I am answering Revelation 5:9. Hallelujah. There's no better place to be. Amen. I'm going to tell you a story, because my wife said if I don't give it, I'll be crucified here. When I first got there, I had a man. He was a pastor, about an hour and a half away in my dinghy. You saw it in the video. It's a 23-foot U-boat with a 40-horse Yamaha engine. That's my four-wheel drive. That's my bus. That's my car. That's my pickup truck, whatever. And he said, Brother Will, can you come and preach my anniversary? Oh, I said, I'd love to. And just before I started the school. And I said, I'd love to. So I have a skipper who runs my engine and so forth. And so we went. We didn't have to go in the sea at this time. We could go backwater in the river. We call backwater just river traveling instead of sea. And so we went to the village. And Sunday morning, I didn't need to preach in Pidgin, because he was going to use his language. We call it talk place, the heart language in his village. So I was going to preach English and he was going to translate. That was okay with me. And so I said, Lord, give me a very simple salvation message. I mean, the whole village was there. And I said, amen. I mean, there was people from other religions. Somebody told me, you better be afraid of this. The sorcerer's there. I don't care. Well, I don't care. Let him come. He can get saved. Okay. And so I preached John 3, the chapter John 3. I just preached a very simple, because it was a religious little town, so I brought out Nicodemus, who was religious, and I preached, you must be born again, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We all know that story very well. We learned it in Sunday school. I preached that, and I gave an invitation. They don't give invitations, but I give one. And I gave an invitation, 16 people wanted to get saved. I go, woo! Amen. And so I looked at him, I said, look, I can take some of these adult guys, the people know you, so you can take these adult ladies and have your wife take the youth. And he pulled me back and he said, Brother Will, my wife doesn't know how to lead anybody to the Lord. I go, what? He said, my wife doesn't know how to lead somebody to the Lord. Well, that was not the time to deal with that. I wanted to just knock him in the head and say, why not? That's your responsibility. Husbands, if you're a Christian, you better teach your children how to win somebody to the Lord, or you're not doing right at the head of your home. So that, okay. Okay. So I said, okay, I got to deal with this, Lord. So it took all afternoon, and we led these people to the Lord. And just before dark, we baptized about 14 of them. Amen. Those are your coupons, is what I'm talking about. 16 people got saved, 14 got baptized, and you're making this verse come alive in your heart. This is your investment. You ought to just shout hallelujah. God's using your investment in winning souls to the Lord. Those 16 you're going to see in heaven. Hallelujah. Amen.
Hallelujah.
When I get on the dinghy the next morning to go home, my heart was broken. I said, Lord, I never ever want that ever to happen again. I am going to require the wives to come to school with the husband. And so we bring the whole family in. And I think I'm the only school that does it, and it's very difficult to do it. But now, those women are practicing winning to the Lord with their husband, and they go out on visitation, and they're winning people to the Lord in our villages, and they're coming home, and they get excited. They say, Brother Will, this is fun. I said, yeah. Now listen, I'm not there to pastor a church. I'm not there to do their job. I'm there to train them, because one day I'm not going to be there, and I want God to continue on with the men that I train. Now, if you don't like that, that's okay. You're in the wrong church. But I'm not there to pastor. It'd take me my lifetime to build one church. No, I want to preach them because they can hit the ground running. And the men are out there now pastoring. They're winning souls. They'll Facebook me when they can get a couple Kena together. They'll textbook me. Said, Brother Will, I baptized 5. Brother Will, I baptized 14 today. Brother Will did all. I go, amen. The blisters are real, but the blessings are better and bigger.
Amen.
There will be. I had a man, we told this to pastor at lunch yesterday. When we started building the fence, once I got the title, we started building a fence, putting post holes in. And then my guys, on our Easter, we send people out to help other churches. So I sent all the students and my staff, and I sent them out on my dinghy, and I said, go enjoy the weekend at a place called Kikori. They're having a big boom. We call boom a gathering, a meeting. And sorry, I just have these words just come out. So forgive me. But and so I was there alone on the property. And then all of a sudden, pastor's wife, Nettie, come running up with her kids and said, missionary, Brother Will, somebody's cutting down our post. So I went over, and here was this guy. He was from a tribe called the Karua tribe. They were kind of our enemies. They kept coming and tell us that the land that we're on belongs to them, and I can't do what I want to do. And so you don't tell that to a Baptist preacher, okay? So, but anyway, he cut down 4 posts. An axe and a bush knife was in his hand. And I said, I have a title for this. He said, no, you don't. That's our land. Da, 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 you can't do all this. And I said, can we go to the police right now? And he said, yeah, because he thought he was going to win. He knew all the police. He thought he was going to. So we took it to police, and then we had to wait till after the weekend, Easter weekend. And so the district manager was coming in. He's the one to judge there. And so he said, okay, we'll meet on Monday or so. And the whole village showed up. The whole village showed up. And just my 2 staff was with me because they all came back. And so I handed him my title, just like the one out there. And the district manager says, wow, he really did it. This guy really does own that land. He did it properly. He went through 2 years and he properly did it. Some of you are living here and you're living illegally because this is all state land. He's starting to scold them. And I said, you need to deal with this in the market so every tribe around, every village around here knows that I own this land. He did that and it all settled down. But a month later, this guy who chopped down my post. By the way, I pressed charges against him because I wanted paid for my post. But a month or two later, I think it was a month or two later, I have no track of time there, he came, had a cup of tea and some biscuits with me, and we led him to Christ.
Amen.
That blister was real. He was my enemy, but we kept overcoming evil with good and good and good and good, and it was a test of faith. That blister was real. We were going to lose our property, and God turned it around and saved his soul. It's bigger and better. Let me say this. We usually write off. This is what I've learned in the bush. I think it deals the worldwide. God's principles are the same anywhere you go. We usually write our praise and our blessings in the sand, and we write our complaining and criticizing in marble. We ought to reverse that and write our blisters, our trials in the sand, and write his wondrous works of blessings in marble. And I'm here trying to get you to see the marble of his wondrous works. Amen. Write it down. Do not forget it. This is what God is using you. That's not a light thing. Second Corinthians 1:3-4 says, he comforted us in our tribulation, that we may comfort others who are in the same trial. And if you can't find comfort in your trial, you can't minister to anybody else outside of you because you haven't found any comfort of God. The only way you can help somebody is you find comfort and make it real in your life and then share that with somebody else in their life. That's what makes the local church and fellowship so important. Amen. Amen. And so, I had a friend of mine on the team. I have to be sponsored by someone. And so I'm sent from Liberty Baptist Tabernacle, local church. I'm sent by local church. I'm not on a mission board. So I'm sent by local church. That's just what I believe. Doesn't matter. Okay? And so, but the country will not accept me from one local church. So there's a team of people just already there for a sponsorship. And it's that they may know, TTMK, that they may know. And my director is Matt Allen. His dad is there. And we have about 8 missionaries on our team. And I'm in the bush, and they're at different places. A lot of them are in the golf because that was our ministry, the golf. We were pushing the golf. And so they sponsored us in. And John is just a few years younger than me, really a great man of God. And I heard him preach, and he talked about, and he said, somebody told me that charity is love with this work clothes on. And I thought about that and thought about that in the bush. And I said, you know, I really like that. Charity, really, because it's beyond agape love in a sense. Charity is love with this work clothes on. Because unless you sacrifice and give of yourself, you haven't began to love yet. He said, yea, that I can be spent and spent daily for you. And he says, and though I love the most, I get a little bit of love back. The more I love, the less I be loved. That's charity. That's loving with your work clothes on. Because when you love somebody, you're going to get your work clothes. When I wear work clothes, I have regular banana clothes. I wear, because banana, as soon as you cut a banana, it'll stain your clothes. So my wife says, go put your banana. After church, she'll say, would you go change in? If you run out in the garden, would you put your garden clothes on? When I go out and work, I get stains here. I'm in my shop, I'll get grease here. I'll get dirty oil here. And sometimes when I'm out working, I'll cut my pants. And so real love is going to get dirty. Real love, I pastor 16 years in Cheyenne. I won a family to the Lord. I discipled them for 5 years, and they turned on me over the stupid carpet. That hurts. That digs deep. You don't get over that in one day. The blisters are real. But real, and if you're not careful, that kind of hurt coming back, you can put a callus around your heart where you don't do that anymore. And I think we're filled with Christians today who've been hurt, and there's Christians who left churches because they get hurt, and they're staying at home. Why? Because they have a callus here. They've been hurt so bad, they don't want to get hurt again. That's not Jesus. Jesus was vulnerable. He got hurt every day of his life. He went to the cross because he loved you. Real love has its work clothes on. And regardless of what comes at you, you still got to love. You overcome evil with evil. You overcome evil with good. The blisters are real, and they hurt, and they're painful. But all the blessings of his wondrous works is so far better and bigger. Now, don't you dare feel sorry for me. I wouldn't trade these blisters in all the world because I'm seeing a lot of blessings. I'm seeing God so real. I can't wait to get back to see more souls saved, more sorcerers saved. God's the one that's into control. I'm not saying the blisters don't hurt. I'm not saying the loneliness is not painful. I'm not saying the isolation is not painful. No communication, not painful, and sometimes downright discouraging. But I come under him. I get in his word. And boy, I get in His presence and there's joy. And I submit under Him and I die a little more. Oh, Lord, I can't do this. And He says, thank you. I've been trying to tell you that. So He waits for my knot head to say, dear Lord, I'm sorry. I can't handle this. I'm coming under you. And whatever you do, I'm okay with. And by the way, some of the biggest pain of 8 years, I used to go out in my garden and say, God, oh Lord, I just want to hug my kids. I don't even know my grandchildren. Sometimes that hurts. And then I'll walk out and I'll get a phone call and Pastor Murphy will say, Brother Will, 5 people get saved today. And I go, woo! The first thing I did when I got to my States, all but one, I grabbed a hold of my kids and hugged them for 20 minutes, and I just wept. And I grabbed my grandchildren, and they were scared of me because they don't, who's that guy? I'm glad. I have no regrets. I'm here to say thank you. But if I had a chance tomorrow to go back, I'd go back. I only want to be here 4 or 5 months giving a report. I have a bunch of churches to go to say thank you to. And I can't wait to get back. And God's given me a whole new vision to go out and reach the unreachable. It's fun reaching the unreachable. Sometimes you're alone because nobody wants to come with you. But I want you to know, your greatest blessings are there. Reach the unreachable in your community. By the way, you know what? I'll give you one little challenge, and then I'll shut up. God has the country right now. I haven't been in it 8 years, so I'm coming back neutral here. The country right now is very oppressed, fearful, and almost hopeless. What an opportunity that He's opened up for you to give them Christ. When before they were hard as a rock. Now they're fearful and they're oppressed and they're fearful of this disease. Why don't you what an opportunity to bring them to Christ. What an opportunity for the local church. It's right there in front of you. All the blisters will get real. Oh, I've been there. 16 years in Cheyenne. I had my nose get shorter on Saturday mornings knocking on doors. I got a little different door in Papua New Guinea. But the pain's the same. The trials are the same. The blisters are the same. But you submit under and let Him overcome. And you can handle that trial, that blister. And then you can say, wondrous God, He really is. Wow, are you good? Wow, look at the blessing. Wow, look at this sign. I've never thought you'd not ever see this. Oh man, look at all those souls. The blisters are real, undeniable. But oh, I look forward to more and more blessings because they're bigger and better. Thank you so much for partnering with us.
Stand to our feet and our heads bowed.